In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter comes from Acts chapter 5. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today in our small catechism readings, we focus on the introduction and the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. What is the introduction of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven. What does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. What is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be thy name. What does this mean? God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. How is God's name kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. The epistle comes from 1 Peter, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Words have a lot of power. They can be used for good, and they can also be used for evil. They can be used to tear someone down and make them feel really bad about themselves, or they can be used to build someone up. In James' epistle, he points out that the tongue can be used for both blessing and also for curse. He explains to us that the tongue is actually a very, very small part of our body, but the things that the tongue can do can have very big implications. And I'm certain you already know that communication, that is, you know, through words, through speech, words and speech are pretty much the most important form of communication that we have. In our gospel text for today, our Lord uses speech too. He uses powerful words. And we see exactly what his words accomplish in John chapter 20. Allow me to read them for you once again. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." When Jesus finds his disciples in this upper room, they're afraid. They're in hiding. They're living in fear. They think that what's going to happen is now that the Sabbath day is over, the Jews are going to come and they're going to try to find them and search them out, and then they're going to do to the disciples exactly what they did to Jesus. It's while they're living in this fear that Jesus actually comes to stand among them. And before they can even say a single word to this Jesus who just appears behind closed doors, Jesus speaks. He makes sure to get the first word out because he knows they're afraid. His word, "Peace be with you." It's just like as Jesus' birth. You remember Jesus' birth and the shepherds and they're out in their fields taking care of their flocks, and what happens? But an angel appears, and before the shepherds could even utter a word, what did the angel say? "Fear not." And then they begin to sing. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." See, Jesus' work has always been about bringing peace. His conception was about peace. His birth was about peace. His entire life was about peace. His death was about bringing peace. And his resurrection, well, certainly that's about peace too. When he stands with his disciples on that first evening, what does he come to do? He comes to grant peace to his disciples. And of course, it only makes sense that he would do so using his powerful word. And this isn't the first time God uses word to create something that didn't exist before. Before, the disciples were in fear. Jesus speaks, and now they have peace. What happened long, long ago at the very beginning? There was nothing at creation. And God said, "Let there be light." And what happened? But immediately there was light. Jesus has all of this power of God. And now that he is living in his resurrected body, he can use that power to its full effect, to its full force. He no longer has to humble himself as a man, but he can actually use his power full and free. And what does he choose to do with that power? He uses his powerful word to grant peace. "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. It happens in an instant that Jesus' words give exactly what they say.
This, of course, is what Jesus still does for you. Even 2,000 years later, he still comes to you who are his disciples in this world now, and he speaks to you a word of peace. And sometimes in our life, we're just like the way that Jesus found his disciples. We allow fear to reign in our lives. We have anxiety. We have all of these cares in the world. And what they do is they kind of dictate how we live. And we start to live by these fears. And we start to live by our anxieties. We start to live by the cares of this world. And we cease to remain living by our faith. Now, maybe our disciples maybe our fears are a little bit different than the disciples were. Maybe we're not fear of death, although, you know, given the current climate of our world, maybe you are living in fear of death. Maybe you're afraid because that the world seems to be getting less centered around God's word. Maybe you're worried because you've watched the church kind of enter into a decline. Maybe you're afraid that the world is going to become more hostile to Christianity. Maybe you're afraid that your life savings is drying up at this very moment. Maybe you fear for what kind of world it's going to be for your kids or your grandkids. I don't know what your fears are. But the truth is that from time to time in our life, we always have fear, we always get anxious, we always have all of these cares that seem to bombard us, and the problem is that when we let it go unchecked, it can paralyze us. So what do we need? What's the solution? We need Jesus to appear. You know, what our fear does is it kind of locks the door to our heart and it prevents anything from getting in there. But just like locked doors were no problem for Jesus with his disciples on that first day of his resurrection, a locked heart is no problem for Jesus. He comes to your fear-locked heart and he speaks a word of peace to you. That's what he does today. Because Jesus reminds you in his word today, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And Jesus even promises, in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. This is what Jesus' Good Friday death is all about. This is what Jesus' Easter resurrection is all about. It's about Jesus overcoming the world for you. It's about Jesus overcoming sin for you. It's about Jesus overcoming fear for you. It's about Jesus overcoming disease for you. It's about Jesus overcoming Satan for you. And of course, it's about Jesus overcoming death for you. Because the grave could not keep him in. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus is with you today through his powerful word to cast out your fear. And the message is so simple. Peace be with you. Peace is yours today because Jesus' word is with you. Peace is yours today because Jesus has put his name on you in the water of baptism. Peace is yours today and no one can take it away. I know you believe in this Jesus. Otherwise, you wouldn't have clicked this recording to listen to it. But my friends, where does the world find itself right now? Behind closed doors, sheltering in place, quarantine, whatever you want to call it, people are hidden away. The world is living in fear of this coronavirus, and they really need a word from Jesus. They really need a word of peace and comfort and joy. Most people in the world have no clue who Jesus is. And it means that you have an opportunity. When you see fear running rampant throughout our world, you have the opportunity to fill the world with peace. Because you get to share Jesus' peace with everyone. Now, Jesus didn't just give his disciples peace, but then he actually gives them this directive. He said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And so whether it be your family, whether it be your friends, whether it be someone you just happen to bump into in the grocery store or wherever else you are in this world, it is time to fill your conversations with a crucified and resurrected proclamation of who Jesus is. A crucified and resurrected proclamation of peace that only God can give to this world. It's time to cast your fears on the Lord and to live unashamedly as you cling to your crucified and risen Savior. This Jesus who shed his blood for you so that you might have peace. My friends, the challenge for you this week is to proclaim Jesus' victory. Proclaim the peace that he has won for you on Easter Sunday. Because the world needs this message. Peace be with you. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with the prayer of the church. Hear us, merciful Father, as we pray for ourselves, for the church, for our nation, and for all conditions and manner of people. God of mercy, keep us from the doubts and fears that cripple us, and prevent us from knowing the fullness of your saving peace and gracious presence. Teach us to trust in your word, and to believe with all our hearts, minds, bodies, and strength in Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised for our justification. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace, bestow upon your church your Holy Spirit and all the gifts that come down from on high. Grant to us faithful pastors who will preach faithfully, and ears to hear your word proclaimed. Give us boldness in our witness before the world, and courage to speak your name without fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of power, give courage and strength to those persecuted for the faith, and comfort the families of the martyrs. Keep your church from following the winds of change, and make her steadfast in the doctrine of the apostles and the faith once delivered to the saints. Help us to admonish those who have fallen away with your word, and to restore with gentleness those who have wandered from the truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of might, counsel the nations and their leaders in the paths of peace and justice. Bless us with wise, faithful, and just leaders who will protect the sanctity of life and defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Make us wise and discerning citizens who use the gift of liberty for noble purpose. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, teach us to love one another as you have loved us. Guide us so that in our neighborhoods and communities, we may manifest the love of Christ as well as his strength.
Deliver us from all that would threaten our homes and families. Protect the police, firefighters, disaster relief workers, and medical personnel who attend to us, as well as the places where we live and work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of comfort, give your aid and relief to all who suffer want or need, to the sick in their afflictions, to those troubled in mind, and to those to whom death draws near. Heal and sustain them according to your gracious will, and preserve them in faith to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope, be with those who grieve the loss of those whom they love. Point them to the promise of the resurrection and the gift of everlasting life to all who die in Christ. Deliver us from the distractions of things that do not matter, that we may focus on the needful things of your word and sacraments, and so be found faithful when our Lord returns in his glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, bless us with the good gifts of the earth, with the fruits of our honest labors, and with a kind and generous heart. Accept the worship of our hearts and voices that we bring as part of our gratitude and thanksgiving. Open our eyes and hearts to the needs of the poor, that we may serve them in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O blessed God and Lord, hear the prayers of your people, and teach us to trust in your will to answer our prayers with all that is needful and beneficial, both for us and for all for whom we have prayed, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, give us grace to trust you during this time of illness and distress. In mercy, put an end to the epidemic that afflicts us. Grant relief to those who suffer, and comfort all that mourn. Sustain all medical personnel in their labors, and cause your people ever to serve you in righteousness and holiness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.